Nick.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands.
At ESPN, Hooksy.
It's amazing. Wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at. But if you get me sober, I wouldn't make a ball.
Now, back to the show.
Just waking up. In the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd. No barking
for. Welcome back into Greg and Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5, 1480. Alongside Bill Hooks, I'm Nick Gregeth. Will Wilson back at the studio. Feel free to hit him up, 402-466-3776. If you want to dive into the show, give your thoughts. I'd like to hear what you think about these topics as we're going to talk a little NFL later in the show. But right now, there's a great article that came out. It was on the stadium. Is that where
yep.
it was at?
Yep. It's actually, if you go to it's watchstadium.com, Brett McMurphy, who is with Stadium. He's a football insider there. And what they're doing now is he's published a survey. It was an anonymous survey of 130 FBS ADs in which 112 participated, judging how they feel, what their confidence level is that college football will start on time.
Okay.
So what the stadium is doing is they're going out, getting this information, and then starting to put stuff out there. What if it doesn't start on time? These are some things that could might happen because, as one AD said, everything is on the table. Sorry, he was a commissioner. The Sun Belt commissioner said, everything's on the table right now.
Okay.
Is what he's saying. So there's a lot of comments you'll read through the article. Commissioner Larry Scott is in there. He's optimistic about a model that's elongated training camp to start on time. Okay? So you got all kinds of
sure.
information.
Different thoughts, yep.
Different thoughts from different people. So,
and you got to remember, all these people are making, a lot of them will be making educated guesses based off of information they're getting. Some of them, like when we talked about the NFL yesterday, I promise you the NFL is speaking directly to Washington and getting, you know, information from, there's a lot of big businesses in this nation
yes.
that are getting information straight from Washington to say, okay, as you guys start planning things out and forecasting the year, when it comes to hiring employees, you know, when can we get things back to normal? Here's how it's kind of looking to us at the moment, but also know X, Y, and Z. So some of this stuff yeah. will be coming from
yeah.
that.
I'm assuming that everybody's doing that. You got Adam Silver, you got all yes. these big guys that are talking directly to Washington, getting information pushed back and forth. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of this is going to be an emotional decision.
No.
When it comes to this stuff, it's going to be very logical and thought out. So then what the stadium is doing is they're breaking down, what if it doesn't start August 29th?
Sure.
Okay, what would happen? And I'll get your thoughts, and again, you guys chime in here. Start the season in October, November, concluding in the spring.
So how do you feel if you're able to do that, then in theory you're able to do basketball. So how do you feel about football and basketball
it's,
at the same
it's
time?
It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know how you would do that. Now, here's what they said. It said, if we have to delay the start of the season, we could split it between two semesters, coming from one Power 5 AD. Okay? Some of the things that could happen, though, is that we would be looking at maybe lack of some bowl games
yep.
not being played.
Sure.
And the interesting part of that is how do you split semesters with breaks?
Yeah, you'd have to, the season just gets a month-long break that's in there, you know, like you have to do for basically the bowl games.
Yeah, it'd be.
You take the month of December off to go back to classes and everything and then come back and hoping everything's good. Is that kind of
yeah.
the way that you would roll that? I mean, if you had to do it, that's fine. The one thing I would stress to you guys to remember is the reason they're talking about this, and you could even see a world where other sports potentially could get shut down in that same span, is football is the money getter for all these universities,
yes.
right? That's where a lot of their TV revenue comes in from, a lot of that kind of stuff, ticket revenue, all that. So to keep their golden goose going is important because, you know, if you're worried about, you know, I don't care, pick other sports that are going on at the same time. If you're worried about those sports, you don't have money to play those sports if you don't have football. That's a big thing about this is if you end up not being able to play football this year, that means you may not have the budget to play sports in the spring, which means you may have to take the entire year off of college athletics, and that's a disaster for everybody involved.
Yeah, and it's interesting. They bring up the point in this article also is that if this did come, again, we are just reading this and hypothetically talking about what if, right? They said, 180 said, it would be an interesting thing because college football, if this crossed semesters, right,
mm-hmm.
could become college football's March Madness. right? Because March Madness, a lot of colleges do that for March Madness. You have a break, then you get your conference season started.
Yep.
So an interesting point brought up that you get your non-cons and you get things going, and then you take that break, and then all of a sudden you got yourself a March Madness of college football.
Yeah, it's interesting.
They also talked about, again, they talk about spring football. What do you think about spring football? Because in this scenario, you're playing football in the spring.
Right, so you just have no spring football.
Yep, and it said if universities are operating exclusively online class during the fall and don't allow students back, you would be looking at that scenario if you continue this thing. Because you mentioned earlier in the first segment was, how do you allow, what's the scenario where you allow just your athletes on campus?
Right. The trick of this thing and what makes it hard too, and this is going to be something that every sports league that has to push back, like let's say the NBA is hell-bent on having themselves a playoff and doing some stuff. Well, the off season now is tiny, right?
Very tiny.
If you play football into March, you're only going to get, these kids, these young athletes are only going to get a couple months to rest before they get back to it. And football's a sport, I firmly believe you need that time off. So that makes it a little bit tougher too. But the same thing with the NBA. You're going to, you know, the NBA, the way they're talking, they're going to only have like a month and a half off before they get the new season going. The way that they're talking about running the league, which is really crazy.
This goes back also in the article about, to your point, a little bit about the revenues, right? In this scenario, one of the ADs who is in favor maybe of this is that they pulled this question to said, by playing in the spring, preferably in front of crowds, it would allow universities to still generate the football program, and that is so critical to athletic departments and money, the millions of dollars of revenue.
100%. No, right? That's 100%.
This is a scenario where projecting way out, if we don't get fans back into this thing,
yep.
Wait until you do approach. Maybe
right.
The springtime is for that. It brings up an interesting scenario, too, because in this scenario, the regular season would get played during the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's also a crazy scenario. The NFL couldn't have that. I mean, you could in theory, but the problem is this isn't baseball, right? Like, you think about the College World Series. You've got drafted players playing in the College World Series. Also, the injury rate and risk of injury in baseball is much lower than football. Could you imagine having the number one pick overall in the draft, getting drafted and then blowing out his knee in like a week later?
Because
that'd be insane.
Yeah, because this is interesting because the draft is in April, right?
Yeah.
The other scenario brought up in this spring scenario was this, from a schedule perspective, because I believe there's people out there that have looked and mapped this thing out. In this scenario, if you started football, let's say, in January, February, looking out through the schedule, your final four would be the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl could be held in May. The national title game would be in like May, early June, around Memorial Day. After the draft.
Would you not play baseball, not play other sports during that time? Like, if you were the university, would you still have baseball going? Because you also got to remember, you just talked about the College World Series at the same time.
That,
you know, would you play, do you then say, okay, we're going to push basketball back, and now maybe March Madness is in April or June?
It's interesting because now you're talking about multiple sports being impacted by certain ones. Again, just scenarios. Another scenario they threw out there, universities determined that students may not return to campus in the fall and must take online classes, but allow an exception for student athletes to return to campus.
Yeah, well, and that'll be a big part of it. And here's, again, I'm going to stress this to you guys, and I know we're going to see people jumping on their high horse over this. If they deem that, you know, hey, we can get back to 250 people in a gathering, right, whenever that day comes, I have no doubt in my mind at that moment the universities are going to say, let's get our athletes back and let's get our athletes going again. You got to remember, that is a business, okay? And by the way, isn't this the year that we're going to start getting to pay athletes potentially for their likeness?
Yes.
Once that kind of stuff starts happening, you don't get to view them as kids or athletes. They're, you know, or as students. They're now, in the business world, they're now making money, they're doing all that stuff, and the harsh reality of the situation is just like any of us, if our employer calls us, we have to go to work.
Yeah, it talked in this article, Brett McMurphy talked about his own two cents,
yes,
of this deal, bringing the athletes back. AD should move matchups to be played every day of the week. The TV ratings would be insane. There it is. There's another scenario where you're talking about a little revenue, insane. Instead of 90% of the games being played on Saturday, spread out the games, have quadruple headers every day of the week. It would be one way to recoup the television revenue. Perhaps the media rights right holders could compensate the schools an additional amount for moving game dates around.
Yeah, that might be. I don't know. It is going to be fun to see how these people screw this up, and how, you know, because like whatever decision they make is going to get criticized, unless hopefully, you know, we get lucky and there's some sort of vaccine before then, and then they're able to somehow produce it quicker than what they thought they could. And, I mean, that's the only real answer to this. Up until that moment, every move is going to get criticized, and you're going to have a group that is going to be over the top emotional over how they feel on this topic. And there, you know, and then you're going to have a group that is probably over the top, like logical, looking at the dollars and cents of it. And the answer is somewhere in between. But how often do we ever get to that answer? Almost never, right?
Yeah, almost never.
Almost sure. Never.
Yeah. The last part of this is an interesting one as well in the article that they, again, Brendan Murphy of Stadium, cancel early season non-conference games, play only your conference opponents. So essentially, looking locally for the Big Ten, right? That's a 9-game schedule. You don't have games in September. You get all your non-cons off. It would be easy in this scenario, SEC, to add a conference game to get to 9. And then they talk about the independents within this thing getting creative with their schedule.
What would the SEC do, though? Because most of their teams, like week 9, play against some FBS school.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to do? Like they're going to, man, we'll hear so much complaining out of the SEC if that's the case. Like, it'll just be off the charts. Like, guys, we got a built-in bye week down there, and you're telling me I can't have it?
You got to play a real schedule.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so they talked about that.
Who approved that?
The SEC could easily add one. The hole in this one is your independence, for instance, Notre Dame.
Right. You'd be kind of hosed on that.
You'd have to get your schedule
that.
To be get creative in how
well,
you
they're, do they play in football? A majority of their teams that they'll play is the ACC, right? Isn't that where they got into? The ACC? No. Who was it?
They're in the ACC,
yeah,
yes.
But it's for everything but football. So maybe they could work something out with the ACC to make that happen. That would be just like Notre Dame to do something like that.
The SEC could add another conference game without any issues, while the ACC would have only 9 schools play Notre Dame and have it counted as a conference opponent.
Okay. So yeah, that would make sense.
Make an exception when you play Notre Dame that's your 9th conference opponent.
Yeah, that makes more sense. I don't know. There's so many ways to view this thing and to look at it. I will stress, and I'll keep stressing this, I think the NFL is going to be able to get back easier than college football. Because of the private plane aspect of it, because you've got billionaires in charge of those things that I think they know that they can't miss out on this. Because again, I'm gonna stress this to you guys. It's an opportunity, okay, for the NFL. Because if the NFL is able to come back and the owners have to spend some money to get this thing going, they will do it. And then on the other side of that too, these players are not gonna want to miss out on their paychecks. The one thing that's gone under the radar, real quick, by the way, so one sport that TV revenue is not what drives it, it's gates, all right? Because it's old school. It's baseball.
Yes.
And with baseball, again, you got a CBA, you've got a union, you've got owners. They split percentages of whatever the yearly money that comes in is. That's how you get these things. Yeah, but we got contracts. Well, I guarantee you a lot of those contracts have provisions in them. And there's a reason why, and this went way under the radar, but there's a reason why the players said, hey, we don't want to be back until we can put butts in seats. Guys, it's not because they love having fans in the seats. It's because they love the paychecks that
they get.
They
love the paychecks. Yes.
Okay? And that's why Major League Baseball has made the decision to do what they're doing. The NFL, the money that comes in on the NFL, and we're going to talk about free agency here in a little bit and the things we've learned in NFL free agency. But NFL, your money's off that TV contract, okay?
Yes.
You only got 16 games. 8 of them are at home, all right? Those 8 games, while it is a significant amount of money, is nothing compared to the TV contract and the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that come in from that. And that's why in the NFL, it behooves them to get their asses back home, get them in the stadium, and get them on TV. If fans aren't there, hey, that's okay. We'll figure that out.
Yes.
All right? But for NFL players and these
I need to be right there.
Yes, they need to be on the TV, and that's the big thing there.
Speaking of that, another last part of that article when it talked about the 90s.
NBA, by the way, is ticket-driven, a lot of it.
Yes.
And that's another reason why the NBA is saying, hey, let's hold off and let's be a little...
people back when we're back.
Yes.
The last part about that article, it talked about the 9-game season, which was a huge hole in this thing because they did... 130 FBS teams. Let's think about the teams. Those non-conference games cripple universities. Think about the people that travel, the teams that travel to Lincoln, Nebraska.
They get paid to be
here.
They get paid to be here.
The millions of dollars they get paid to be on campuses go away.
Yep.
Could cripple a university like that that's expecting to come to Lincoln and get paid $1 million to be here.
Right. Yeah. There is going to be a lot of ramifications coming out of this. And I don't personally believe that even Power 5 school is going to get out of this thing okay. I think Nebraska will be fine. Although, again, guys, let's go back and let's look at when they used to put out those reports about the universities that made the most money and who operates, in the black and who operates in the red and all those things. It was like 27 universities that made money from their athletic department each year, right? Most of them are either in the red or they're right at where they're supposed to be because this was all during the talks about paying players and just have the universities pay them. Most of them can't afford it. But like the University of Nebraska, I know for the longest time was operating pretty much right even.
Yeah.
So if you take away the gates that Nebraska gets for home games for the spring game, that affects that a lot and it affects this university. Now, a place like the University of Texas that's bringing in over $100 million a year, they should have money in their kitty that they can sit back and say, hey, we got some cash. We'll be okay. But there's not very many of them, and there's going to be a lot of teams. I remember the big one was Vanderbilt. I remember when we looked at this like 5-6 years ago, and Vandy was operating at like a $10 million loss a year on top of what now they'll be losing at games and everything. Yeah. That's tough,
man. Well, there's more universities like that than I think everyone wants to believe. I think people want to believe that if you're in a Power 5 conference, you're taken care of. That you got, you're flush. Not everybody, again, even our own university right here locally, who everybody, you believe they're flush with cash, but that they are. They get big TV money from Big Ten Network and all that stuff. But when you're sitting here with zero coming in, the flush cash gets less and less every year, right? You anticipate more. You anticipate building that. You anticipate these $150 million facilities being built, right? You've committed. You've got people on the hook for these things. But there are more universities out there that are thinking like a Vandy going, how are we going to keep it open? How are we going to keep this thing going? It's just an interesting situation. I think to unpack all this, it is, when I look at it, it is going to take a collaborative effort from college football to NFL to NBA to you name it to make this thing work. Because it's been reported that like Goodell and Silver, I'm drawing a blank on the other commissioners of leagues, that are on weekly calls trying to figure this thing out together. Because it's all going to have to go together.
Could you imagine how obnoxious Goodell is when they're like, all right, I think we're going to try to have our championship for the NBA in September. Can we push back the NFL season? No.
No. Like, it's a simple, let me think about it. No. Yeah.
And they're like, but Roger, we're going to have our finals. Aren't you worried that'll take away from your viewing of your games?
No.
But what if your ratings are down? They won't be.
They'll be fine.
They'll be an all-time high this year.
Yes.
Do you guys want Antonio Brown? Like, that's no. That's pretty much all Goodell's going to do. He's just going to sit there and be like, yeah, I'll take some money if you want to pay me keep my league. I just got to make sure my fantasy football gets going again.
That's it.
That's the only thing
that
matters.
He's the less stressed of all of them probably right now.
Because these greedy owners are looking at this thing. Because, again, they're different than every other league, whether it be colleges or whether it be – they're different, man. They're looking at this thing going, hey – we will be feeling the ramifications of this for decades in a positive manner if we come out as superheroes on this thing.
Well, think about it. We're just today is what, April 2nd?
Yeah.
We're like 3 weeks away or so, roughly, somewhere in there, where he's going to be front and center. Oh, yeah. The ratings are going to be insane.
I can't wait for the draft, man. I'm so fired
like,
up
insane.
For it.
Like, insane.
I've been doing mock drafts left and right, sitting at home because I'm a nerd.
Insane.
It's going to be fun. There's some good players out there. I can't wait as we get closer to that thing, too. I'm going to give you my list of guys that I think are going to be busts. big time busts.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, I do every year. And then I give you my guys that are in the later rounds that I think are going to be really good. You don't hit on all of them. I did nail Jamal Charles. Stephon Diggs was one of them. By the way, someone asked me the other day there was a tweet, and it was Stephon Diggs is by Pro Football Focus will end up as what ranking for wide receivers next season? He's with Buffalo now. Mm-hmm. I think he's somewhere between 23 and 27. I don't think he's going to be a really highly rated player, man. Buffalo doesn't have the passing game for that crap. They don't have the quarterback for it, and they don't have the play calling for it. They pound the rock, and they freaking try to bomb the thing down the field. Plus, he's going to get all the coverage. Like, I don't know. I don't foresee Mr. Diggs being a Pro Bowl caliber player, which means I don't see him as a top 15 wide receiver in fantasy. Not a chance. I just don't see it. Let's take another break here. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one, a quick moving hour number one. You listen to Greg Ethan Hook.